I want to read a prayer to you. For some of you, it might be a familiar story. It's about a man in the Bible named Jonah. And it's a book in the Bible that's only four chapters long, but chapter two is Jonah's prayer. And the message that I've titled is Mercy at the Bottom. If just to familiarize maybe those of you that maybe missed a couple of Sunday school lessons when you were five, it was quite a popular one for me growing up down south. The Sunday school teacher always did Jonah in the well. And at some point, he always incorporated some type of cut out cardboard of a well. And there was always a skit to go with it. And, you know, and haunted me in my nightmares. I always just knew that this whale was going to come get me if I went to the beach. Or most of us know the story of Jonah and the whale. The scripture doesn't tell us that it was a whale. It just says it was a big fish. And whatever that looks like, we just always reverted to a whale because it's like the biggest thing we could think of to speak about in Sunday school class. But to familiarize everyone with this really intriguing story and to get to really just the good news of that I would like to share with you, Jonah had a call of God on his life, and the short end of it was when God asked him to do something, to commit his life to the Lord, he turned and went in the other direction, as maybe many of us can testify to today, or maybe still some of us today that are still trying to go in the opposite direction of God. But as we heard tonight, you can't outrun God. And you can't run fast enough to escape the arms of God. I've said it before here, but the arms of God extend a lot further than you and I can run. But Jonah tried anyway. And he got on a boat and decided to head in the opposite direction that he was supposed to go in God's will. And a storm came while he was on that boat. And it was a crazy storm. And the men that were on top, they were bugging out, to say the least. And everybody just started kind of praying to their gods and trying to figure out what's going on. Jonah somehow was asleep at the bottom, and somebody went down, told him, you need to get up here. And they cast lots. They did a little gamble or rolled some dice or something like that to figure out maybe who is to blame for this terrible storm that maybe they weren't expecting. And obviously the men on that boat were religious. And anyway, when they decided to cast lots, the chips fell on Jonah. And I can imagine this moment, the storm, waves, rain splashing, hit him in the face, and all heads turning to Jonah like, what did you do, right? What's going on? And then Jonah confesses his failure, that it's me. I'm running from God, and this storm is because of me. And then they really started bugging out. Like, what's going to happen now? And then Jonah said, I tell you what, this is all falling apart right now. This is the craziest storm ever. Throw me over. Just throw me right over the water and you'll be fine. But then they started bugging out some more. And we can assume that in the moment of this story, the scripture says that they started trying to row the boat furthermore and trying to get to shore, because nobody wanted to throw Jonah over, because they were like, if your God is causing a storm because you didn't do what you're supposed to do, then we ain't going to touch you, because then we'll really be in trouble, right? And at some point, Jonah, then what happens is, it's interesting that they all just pray to Jonah's God, like, all right, Lord, we're going to do this and have mercy, right? And so they throw Jonah over, and the storm ends. And then all of the guys on that boat start worshiping God. And pretty much they got saved because of somebody else's mess. But going back to Jonah, he's tossed over. And then the scripture tells us that God opens up the mouth of a very large fish, swallows Jonah. And Jonah's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. 3 nights, 3 days. The belly of the fish. And then as we now have scripture, we get an account of this prayer that he prays clearly on the third day. We know in this absolute truth of the gospel that he shared and bore witness of his deliverance. This is why we have this story. And chapter 2, I want to read it for you because this is Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish on the third day. I don't know if he was praying on the first day or the second day. First, second day, maybe he was just trying to survive from suffocating on seaweed or water or whatever the fish was still eating for the next 2 days. We can safely assume Jonah wasn't the only one in that belly. Unless you want to simply come to the idea that maybe the fish was fasting for 2 days after Jonah. But I don't think so. And it makes the story sound better if we add some other stuff in that belly. But it says on the third day that he prayed. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. It says, I called out to the Lord. Out of my distress, he answered me. Even in that moment, we know that Jonah, representing rebellion and running from God, is in this distress moment. And while he's in the belly of the fish, he prays a prayer, God, you're gonna answer me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, which means really out of the belly of darkness. Because you gotta understand that for 3 days, he's in pitch darkness. He can't see anything. And he says, you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and to the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. There's a moment here of great despair, knowing that because of sin, because of his disobedience, because of rebellion, he is separated from God. That's what happens when we choose to live life our way. Sin, those wicked things that we do, those dark things that we do, the very things that are opposing to the truth and the righteousness of God, it's sin. And sin separates us from God. And when we're separated from God, you and I, we're in the belly of the fish. We're at the bottom in darkness when we live our lives in sin. But in distress, in great despair, he cries out to God. He says, I look upon your holy temple, which means I'm going to set my eyes on the righteousness of God. Even in that moment, there's this moment of hope and faith in who God is and not his circumstances. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. It's almost like poetically he's describing the torment and the pain of what he's facing in darkness because of his rebellion. I mean, really, if you use your imagination, I think it's safe to assume that there probably wasn't a lot of room in the belly of the fish. It's not like he was able to just tread water and just do a couple of laps. Not in the description of his prayer. The description of his prayer tells us that in the belly of the fish, it was like the walls were closing in on him. You ever had moments in your life when such despair and such trial that it feels like the walls are closing in on you? And he said, he described his despair and his pain as if the seaweed was wrapped around his neck, choking him around his head, suffocating. Very often we would know, I don't know a lot about fish, but I assume that there's a lot of water that comes rushing in on a regular basis. And I can imagine it hitting his face. I can imagine him choking, and I can imagine him fighting for air. I can imagine just everything he touched was just either sharp or just nasty or just too soft or just it smelled so bad. And it just one day goes by, where am I and what is going on? As we said, I just feel like my life is going to end. He was waiting for death. You see, when you're in darkness, all there is to do is just to wait for death. In rebellion, all you do is just wait for death. When you're separated from God in sin, the wages of sin is death. The only outcome to a sinful lifestyle is death. There's no hope in it. The walls just close in. Seaweed wraps around your head. It's pitch dark. You can't see anything. And days go by. One day, 2 days, but on the third day, somehow he mustered up something to pray. That's faith. That's believing in your darkest hour that mercy can meet you at the bottom. Verse 7. Look at verse 6 again. I'm sorry. I went down to the land whose bars closed up upon me forever. I love this, the way it's written. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. He's speaking in great hope and in faith that God can save his life. That despite the darkness around him, that if he would truly confess his failure, confess his mess, and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, I will rise up out of this darkness. Verse 8 says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. For me, it was very profound for Jonah to pray this in a moment of great pain and suffering and rebellion. This is the hope for you and I. This is a word for you and I. That even in his great agony, he would remind us through his prayer that vain idols are not going to save you. Vain, meaning something that has no value. Idols, meaning something that we adore to the extent where we praise it and worship it as if it has enough substance to fulfill our lives, our very soul. The completion of our soul cannot happen with vain idols. Money is not going to save your soul. Your career will not save your soul from darkness. The most beautiful girlfriend you think in New York City will not save your soul. Your most handsome boyfriend that you think will not save your soul. And these are the vain idols that we have. They're not going to save you. Jesus said it. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Be careful what you worship in place of God. Be careful what you adore, what you commit to on a daily basis and substitute for giving your life to Jesus Christ. Be careful, for those things that are vain idols will leave you still in the belly of the fish. But verse 9 seals the deal for what I want you to know. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is amazing. 3 days in the belly of the fish, 3 days in darkness, 3 days choking in your own mess. Because I'm gonna tell you something, sin always has consequences. Sin will always find you in the dark, but praise God, mercy will meet you at the bottom. He cries out. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer saying, oh God, forgive me of my rebellion. Forgive me of my disobedience. I give thanks to you. My life belongs to you. Just like Benji saying, yes to your will. That was Jonah in that moment saying, I say yes to you. Here was this moment where he'd gone back and forth in the fear of death. Just like Sophie testified tonight, just the feeling of I'm going to die. But mercy meets us at the bottom. Hallelujah. And you give thanks tonight. I'm calling you to give thanks to Jesus Christ who went to the cross. And I want you to know, as Jonah prayed, here is it right now. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If you understand that, there is liberty and freedom in that, to know that salvation belongs to the Lord. Here's what that means. That means this: nothing else can save you but God through his son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, died because of our sin, because of our rebellion. While we were still trying to catch a boat like Jonah, Jesus went to the cross and he died. And salvation belongs to God who gave up his only son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus went to the cross. He took on our sin and he conquered sin and death. That's why mercy can meet us at the bottom, because no height nor depth can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, if you want to talk about an example of hitting rock bottom, it's Jonah. Not only was he down below, but he was down below the sea, rock bottom in the belly of a fish. It was actually an impossible to get out of that situation, but God. But the story demonstrates a heart of repentance. Salvation is not in me just trying to figure out how to get this right. Salvation is not found in me getting a pay raise. Salvation is not in you trying to get maybe a better wife because you're not happy with the wife that God gave you. And if I go through this divorce, everything will be right. Now, I know, God, you're going to save me through it in the name of Jesus. It don't belong to you to make up your own plan for salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And if you confess that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. God wants his credit. He wants the glory. I'm not going to beat around it. He wants the glory. I mean, if you really take a moment and think about the incredible plan of God, nothing beats it. There's no way out. There's no other plan of salvation. There was no way out for Jonah but God. And he prayed a prayer in faith saying, I give thanks because I believe that you're merciful. I believe that you're full of grace. I believe that you love me. I believe tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He died. He paid my sin debt. I thank you. I say yes to your will, God, because you've been so kind to give me your son, Jesus. I say yes to you. And if you say that, if you believe that, and if you pray that, mercy will meet you at the bottom. God is powerful. He's able to open up the fish's mouth and spill us out on dry land. But it requires you and I to be broken before the Lord, to come to the end of ourself in your darkest moment. Mercy will meet you at the bottom. Benji, you guys, worship team, come up. We're getting ready to pray. Because I know there's some people in here, you felt like you've been at the bottom. There's a silly song that just recently came out, or maybe last year, I don't care, whatever. But there's this song that came out. It's a rap song, and the hook is, started from the bottom, now we here. They need Jesus. And these boys and all of our other boys and all throughout New York City, some of y'all probably heard and be like, what in the world? And they run, I started from the bottom, now we here. You will get nowhere unless you receive the mercy of Jesus Christ at the bottom. Listen to me. And the here that you assume is getting you somewhere are really just a deceptive, vain idol that still keeps you at the bottom. But now tonight, we're going to start from the bottom. And we're going to meet God here in his mercy, in his grace, in his love. We don't need no clever song to make us just feel good. Let's just come before the Lord broken. You've been in darkness. You've got some sin stuff. Let Jesus save you from it right now so that that sin mess that you've had a problem with, it ends right here. Let God be God. Let him be Savior. You tired of suffocating in your own guilt because you can't stop doing that stuff that you're doing? Let it end here right now. I am tired of hearing people say they're at the bottom and all they need to do is just cry out to Jesus Christ. Make him Savior and mercy will meet you at the bottom. Let's stand up. Stand up. Church, let's be bold enough to take somebody's hand and let's walk them down here. And I want you to be bold. I don't want you to worry about who's watching you. We don't care here at this church because we've all started at the bottom. And we've all experienced the mercy of God. This message has spoken to your heart and you know that you sense God calling you, desiring that you would know his love and mercy. I want you to get out of your seat right now from the balcony onto the floor. Take the extra few minutes. The trains will still be running as they've always been running all day. Cabs are going. Your car is still in the parking lot. Let's take the extra time and let's meet Jesus down here. I want to pray with you. You just make your way down here. You're a little bit nervous about it, tell your friend, come down with me. Your friend might be like, oh no, I don't have a problem. Tell them, we all need Jesus. You grab their hand and you make your way down. Let's sing. We're gonna pray a yes prayer. We're gonna say a yes prayer. And you're gonna say this yes prayer with me. And I want you to say yes in faith. Circumstances right now might still feel like you're at the bottom. And if you're watching online right now, stand up, say yes, pray this prayer with us, and you say yes in faith. You could be in your house right now, and even your home feels like you're at the belly of darkness. But we're going to pray this prayer in faith. Jesus will set you free. He's a faithful God, and I stand on his word that is truth. And his word, there was a moment in scripture where Jonah prayed that we need to get rid of the vain idols because those things get in way of the hope of God's steadfast love, meaning that it's steadfast. You haven't missed it. You're right on time. Here we are. Pray with me. I say yes to your will. I believe in faith that you, Jesus, are my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You paid my debt. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I repent now. I turn away from my sinful ways. I say yes to your will. Make me a new person. Set me free from darkness. I want to live free. Darkness has destroyed my life. But tonight I am in your light. And your light has set me free. Yes. 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 I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.